Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. All the music today, what a blessing it's been. Thank you for those that have stepped in and filled in for Brother Bert. And at this time, I'd like to go ahead and we want to hear from our Helps missionaries. But Brother Mormon, you come. And Brother Mormon always does a good job preaching for us. And this morning, I've asked him, let me preach. And because I've been gone and I got some preaching in me. So he's been gracious about that. But I want to hear from our missionaries a little bit about that this morning. You help us, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. What a joy to be back here at your wonderful church. On the back of your bulletin, don't miss that, is a wonderful write-up there about Help Ministry if you're not acquainted with what Help Ministry is doing. We have over 700 foreign pastors, national pastors. Where is Brother George that's with me this morning? I want you to be ready. Come up here, Brother George. Just be ready to come up here and tell us your age, how many churches you're working over, how many you have, any things you're doing for the Lord. I'll have you come up in just a second. Take a minute or two, and then you'll be able to say more tonight to the folks. But I've been doing this for about 8 years. I have the wonderful privilege of driving these men to their appointed churches, to getting in mission conferences for about 55 churches here in the state of Florida. And we're just blessed by your pastors to have had Help Ministry for so many decades, I guess, now. And these men are doing a great job. They're the real thing. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but America's going to hell in a handbasket. You can be disillusioned in a great church like this to think everything is all right spiritually in America, to come and worship in a crowd. But it's not so everywhere. But on the foreign fields, the harvest is very ripe. They're starting churches every day. They're winning multitudes to Christ. And so thank you for your support. Thank you, Pastor Carter. Thank you, Pastor Parsons. And for all you dear folks here at Landmark, God bless you. Brother George, come. Just take a minute or two. Introduce yourself. And he's almost as old as me, but not quite.
Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Africa, we say, Bwana Asifiwe, that is to say, praise the Lord. So when I say, Bwana Asifiwe, you say, praise, amen. Bwana Asifiwe. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be with you, and I am really blessed to be here. And I want to say thank you for what this church and the Bible College have done in Africa. 2002, I came with Help Ministries, and we had a 1 week of seminar in North Carolina, in a place called Canaan, and Brother Stringer and James Ruiz were our teachers. They gave us all the materials to start a Bible college, a Bible institute, and even to manage it. So back in 2002, when I came, I went back to Kenya, I started Liberty Baptist Bible College, and now we have three Bible institutes that have been started. We have trained more than 350 students. Last August, Brother Nick Abaka came, and he presided over our graduation. 17 graduated. And therefore, that I have been working with Help Ministries for the last 22 years. The Lord has helped me to lead, plant 100 churches. When I say 100 churches, it's not like this building. It's those people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord. And after accepting Jesus, when we go for evangelism, in towns, in villages, in mountains, in places where it is impossible to go with cars. When we meet 50 people or 80 people, and after 3 months of discipleship, if they come 50 or 30, we organize them as a group, and that group, biblically, is called a church. So we have 100 churches, and 6 of them, God has helped us to help support them have some buildings, as you can see in that board I have put there. I'm working with seven countries of East and Central Africa, and I tell you what we are doing is not a simple work, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, He is helping us to do church planting, church building, Bible schools, empowering young preachers, men, women, and youth ministry, and Bible distribution. When I say Bible distribution, I'm happy and proud to see my brother, Edward Stanley. Can you start, please? He has brought to Africa 13 containers of Bibles. Amen. 3 of them, they have come to my church. Amen. And we have distributed in those 7 countries of East and Central Africa. So what I would want to say is pray for us, and I'm not alone there. One, I have a family of 6 children and 8 grandchildren. 3 boys are born in my family, and they have been called after my name, George. Brother George called Brother George. They have been called that way so that if Jesus tells to come during my time in the ministry, those boys will take over and continue reaching and reaching to the uttermost part of the earth. Therefore, continue praying for us that God will do good things to us. Pray with us. And also, early in the morning, I talked to the church, Eldorado Baptist Church, which I have served for some time, about 40 years, and they told me that 3 people got saved, and therefore we need to pray. Pray for me. I'm going back to Africa on the 5th, and therefore I need your special prayer, because, you know, in the flight, 23 hours is not easier. It's by grace of God. Otherwise, may God bless you. May God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. What a blessing. We've met with him, and you'll probably hear more from him tonight. I appreciate him saying something about our Bible college and the investment there of just years ago, before I ever came along, the investment of our ministry in them, and then him going out and beginning them. And we've met recently about further investment that they need of our college investing in them, and we'll be tying together a little bit for the future. And it was a blessing for me to hear, you know, it was us that kind of were help in the beginning, and he would rather us be the ones that help him now. Amen. And so that's a blessing as our church. And again, we want to be able to do that all that we can. Today, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to preach a missions message. We've been in missions month, and I know that Brother Scotty, it cannot be preached better than Brother Scotty preached, and I'm sure that he laid a foundation of what faith promise is. And so I want to just talk just quickly to you today and just remind us about the need of missions. It has been said that America today is a great mission field, but as a mission field, and collectively here we've seen souls saved, but as a nationwide and across the nation, we don't see people turning to Christ like we do in foreign fields. It's a blessing to hear about Brother Stanley's ministry, taking King James Bibles to Africa and taking them there, and container after container, people being able to see and read the Word of God. So what we take for granted, we can go to the dollar store and buy it. If you were to go to my office, there are boxes and boxes of Bibles. But on the foreign field, that's a precious book. to be able to own their own Bible and to be able to hold it with their own hands and read it with their own eyes, not just have pieces or parchments of it or have to read it digitally. And I'm not against anybody reading it digitally or having it read to them, but there's just something about a paper in front of you and Bible that you can study and have of your own. What a blessing it is to have that. I want to pray this morning. I hope you got to John chapter number 3. I'm going to preach a message for the tape room's sake. The title of the message today will be Making a Global Impact. Making a Global Impact. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for our church. And Lord, I just thank you for the work Pastor Carter has done here, Lord, that you've done through him in this place. I thank you for all the people, Lord. I look out and I see so many folks that invested and sacrificed for world missions, Lord, for so many years. We see the gauge and we heard testimony of how Helps Ministries, even the founder of that, the work itself, is a member of our church, God. And so we see our churches deeply involved in missions. But Lord, help us never take granted for granted that we're done until you come for us. Help us never to take for granted that, Lord, the great need that continues generation after generation for the world to be saved. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. A global impact. And when we think about the globe, there's some things that really impact the globe, does it not? There are some things we see right now. We see war impacting our globe. A lot of what you can read in the news or watch on the television set, you will find war in more than one place. Right now, the headlines are about war in Israel, but just a few days before that, and it still rages on, it was in the Ukraine and in other places around the world that they choose not to take cameras and to show you where the fighting still takes place, not just in those two places, but in other places across the world. And you say, does that make a global impact? Absolutely, because we're talking about it today because it's on the news cycle, is it not? It fluctuates oil prices, and so then it makes a global impact in our economy. You know, people that get into office have an effect on the economy. Amen. It has had and will have an effect upon our economy and the world's economy. Because much of the world we see is just as God has predicted as we get closer and closer to the end times and Jesus coming back for his church, that we're becoming more and more. When I was a boy, everybody thought a credit card was going to be the thing that took down the world. And they were right. Now we see how it's linked all the world together. And now this, you know, when I was a boy, if you said a web, I'd have been watching out for spiders. But now we have it where it's spread across the whole world, and we're so easily, cell phones. I never would have believed anything about cell phones and how the whole world could see the two witnesses in the end of Revelation. But now we realize even what we know for technology is a drop in the bucket of what it will be. What's it going to be like after we're gone for 7 years in heaven? And then the Antichrist gives them even more technology to be able to control the narrative and to control the people of the world. What are they going to have? How quickly are they going to be able to see everything in front of their face? You see, economy takes it has a world impact, doesn't it? It has a global impact on our world. In the scripture today, we see an event that happened in a person's life, but it made a global impact. And the person that is making the impact in each person's life is the one that had a global impact on the entire world. But sometimes we miss the fact that economy and war, sometimes we jump over religion. You know, one of the things that we think, oh, war happens in the world. No, one of the greatest things that stops the gospel from going around the world is false religion. Religion, people are religious and they're set in their ways and they think, this religious system will bring them salvation or to heaven. The missionary can take a Bible and you can send money, but if they don't go there and help somebody and try to teach them that what they've been taught is false and that's going to take them straight to a devil's hell. Hey, that's not just around the world. That happens right here in America. Right now, while we meet together, there are groups and false teachings being taught all through our city, and people are sitting there in what they believe is a Bible, and they're sitting there reading pieces of the scripture, or they're listening to it being preached at them in a language that they can't understand from people who think the same way that they've been taught. or for filthy lucre continue to propagate what I would call as a false doctrine. Right down the street, and somehow we think that that's not how the rest of the world is. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, Haines City, if you leave a little late, you fellowship a little while, you go down the street here and you can't get out on 10th Street because of the Catholic Church. Car after car, and I sit there and I watch person after person going by, realizing that they know the name of Jesus, but they're on their way to a devil's hell. Because instead of praying to Jesus and calling upon his name, they'll call Mary's name. And if they've got a lock and a hold on Haines City, how is it in all of South America? You go to the Arab nations and see the impact that Muhammad and the Muslim world has had and how they have had a global impact. You don't even have to go outside of Haines City to find the global impact of that. But you know, the blessing is that there's a global impact that happened, and the Bible even uses the terminology that it turned the world upside down. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It changed the world. It changed me. It changed you. And somehow we think that everybody else, do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? You realized that everyone in the world needed what you just got. That everybody in the world had to have salvation and the truth of the gospel message. That Jesus changed everything for you. And that if you could just convey that to others, or you could send someone else to convey that to people that you will never meet, that was the most important thing on your heart, your mind, and in your life. But somehow we that gets dulled. Somehow me, mine, and maybe Christmas get in the way of making a global impact. See, the gospel has not lost its power. Anyone who hears the name of Jesus Christ and will believe upon him and call upon his name shall be saved. But that same scripture that we've taught on Wednesday night, how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they ever going to hear if a missionary or a good church like ours is not willing not only to send its money, but its members to go, to surrender to the call of God, and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? How does a church have a global impact? It focuses on Jesus. When you focus on his great commission, you can't get outside of making a global impact. If it's your focus, if it's everything to you, like it's everything to God. You say, preacher, you mean you want me to give everything I have? No, I want you to give what God laid on your heart to give. I want the thing that God told you by faith that you could give to make a global impact, to put that in the plate as a promise. And then when we count all the promises up, we'll see that our church can continue to have a global impact on the world. Because I determined next year, I'm not changing unless Jesus comes. We're still going to go soul winning. We're still going to run buses. We're going to still try to reach our Haines City. We're still going to try to reach our Davenport. We're still going to try to reach all as far as we can to Lakeland. We're going to try to reach as far as we can into other counties, all the way past Poinciana into Kissimmee. We're going to run buses as far as God will let us run buses and reach everyone who we can reach. But that ain't the whole world. That's not a global impact. The way we have a global impact is making a faith promise and saying, I'm going to tie together with this local church and give of beyond my tithe, beyond the offerings God has asked me to give to the special projects and needs of my church. This is what God has asked me to give him for the specific needs of missions. And why do we bring missionaries in? Because we want you to see that it's not a check that you're writing. It's a person. It's Brother George. Brother George has a bunch of other Brother Georges that the money goes to, and it supplies the needs of the family so that they can keep starting churches, so that they can preach the gospel. When people are saved, then they baptize them into a body and create a church. See, sometimes we think you got to get a certain number to have a church like ours. See, God is not interested necessarily. Listen, God saves people. And when you get a group of people together, no matter what they number, they are church. Hey, you know, God does care about numbers because he counted the group that gathered in the first church in that, right before Pentecost, you know, before everybody thinks it started, Jesus had already started his church and he numbered his church when they were waiting on him. It's important to him that there's a number of people that gather together. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I want to just give you some points this morning. And I'm gonna run fast. I want you to be able to hear me. If you need to write it down for later so you can mull over it. Maybe you haven't filled out that card. I don't want you to do it in haste and promise something that you will not do. Because you're not making a promise to me. You're making a vow to God. I want you to pray about it, even if it's this afternoon or taking some of these things down. But I tell you this, the one thing I would take from the message today is I would not participate. Okay, so what does it take to participate? A penny. You say, preacher, you want us all to give a penny? No. I want to make a global impact. But I wouldn't, even if all my faith could muster was a penny that I found in the couch on a weekly basis. Now, I'm teaching you just like I do the kids on the bus routes. And in Sunday school class, they can promise a penny. Now, those of us that don't dig our change out of the couch, maybe we could promise something that God could put in our hand on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. And we could give that back to him as he gives it to us. And I'm just going to be honest with you. God has built my faith. And I believe that I'm looking at people who God, if you really trust in God, he won't just give you what he did last year. But if you trust him, he'll give you more. And you saw him faithful last year. So be faithful again this year. And let God be faithful for not just what he did in the past, but that same God show himself mightier through your life and make a bigger global impact through our church and ministry. You know, we try to give a little bit of record. Missionaries come off the field every 4 years and try to give us a little tiny bit of a picture of what's happening there. But the 7 years in heaven is a roundup of people who will walk up to you who you have never met, but they know because now they know as they are known, and they'll say it was your church's mission dollars that brought me to Christ. It was your church's giving. Remember that time when you were weighing it in the balances, whether it's really worth it, whether it really was going to make a global impact? And you gave. Now look at the scripture with me this morning. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 12, it says, if I had told you, this is Jesus speaking, if I had told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Folks, that happened. Just like Jesus said, he went to the cross and died on Calvary, paid the sin debt. And then he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come. Look at this. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. We've already talked. You want to really put where the rubber meets the road, what's happening into America versus on the mission field? There are people who would rather live in darkness than live in the light. He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Can I just make a few statements here? Jesus made a global impact. Jesus made a global impact. And I want to give you just a couple ways. And then I want to tell you how you can make a global impact. We spoke much about it. We realize we're kind of finishing up Missions Month, but I want you to see Jesus. Listen, he came into the world. He made a global impact by bringing light into a dark world. You know that you know, I don't know about you, but I'm powerless to turn on light in a dark place. The other day while we were home and we were doing something, I had to go out into the dark, and out there it's really dark. They live out in the country, they're on 65 acres, and they don't have a light out in the yard. And I walked outside to get something, and I'm just telling you, folks, it was a cloud cover night. And so even the little bit of light of the moon and the stars that God had given, it was shut off. And every day, my grandson had been playing with a flashlight that I picked up one time, and it blinded me. I said, man, that LED works good. And you know what happened? I just left it on the floor day after day after day. And when I realized I needed light, I had to go search for it. It wasn't laying where it had been all those other days. I had to search around for it. Can you imagine being in a lost and dying situation in a dark part of the world where no missionaries ever come, and then somebody comes by and tells you and sows the seed and drops water on the ground, and you hear for the very first time about Jesus? Now, you've grown up in your own religion. You've grown up in some other thing. And so you probably aren't going to accept right away. You've heard some new thing about a man who died on a cross for you where you thought you had to work your way to heaven. You thought you had to do this and that. And it's so contrary to everything you've heard. But boy, the light keeps turning up and turning up and turning up. You know, that light, the person that lights the scriptures up for you after you get saved, that Holy Spirit of God, I can tell you, I didn't get saved the first day that I heard about Jesus. And I was in a good church that preached him every week. I didn't get born into a bad, wrong, false religion. But the Holy Spirit kept knocking my door, kept turning on the light over and over again until finally I sought after the light. I wanted to have the light. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. Jesus came. He made a global impact by putting a light in the world. Listen, we can go and carry the light to a lost and dying world. God so loved us that he sent the light from heaven to come and die on Calvary for us, that we might be able to have the light within us and to carry the light to a lost and dying world. Jesus also is number two. Jesus made a global impact by making a way when there was no way. You know, some people, when they hear about the light, maybe they live in darkness and they don't have electricity like you have it. And so light is the way they want to hear about that. There's other people who don't have a way to make a living, and they don't have a way to get out of their situation. They don't have a way to do anything. But when they hear about the way, the truth, and the life, all of a sudden they realize this is changing everything. It's not just about this earth and about this life, but there's an eternal life that I can have. And I never could have had it if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and made a way when there was no way. You say, preacher, you're preaching what we know. Yeah, but listen, I'm trying to remind you that other people haven't heard what you've heard. They're not blessed the way you're blessed to be in a church of people who love you. They're lost in darkness and in sin. The way that they've been shown is a way of works, not one that has already been worked out, one that's already been paid for, one that's already been paved by the Savior. Jesus made a global impact by being lifted up on the cross. You know, today, Jesus is not on the cross. False religion keeps him up there. But when we see the cross, it's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of the way. It's a symbol of crossing over from an Old Testament economy to a New Testament Jesus. That the one that was on that cross, that did pay that price, that took that cross for me, has now risen from the dead. And my whole life ought to be tied up in what he came to do, to take light to a lost and dying world, to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, folks, Jesus made a global impact. How am I going to make a global impact? How are you going to make a global impact? We can do that in several ways. We can give it. Think about this. We can make a global impact by sending the glorious gospel around the world by just giving. You know, I mean, most of you in here, you know, a lot of times you're, as a church member, I can remember being, I mean, a young person, a teenager in my church, and I'd listen to the missionary come and preach, and sometimes they were from the field, and sometimes they were from America and going to the field. And I didn't know everything about doctrine. I didn't know everything about who they were going to be. But, you know, I sat in the pew, and I remember getting in and starting giving because I believe my preacher had checked on that man, that my preacher believed in him, that my preacher believed that he was going to make an impact, that my pastor had checked out his doctrine, that we were together as a church getting behind somebody who was like us to plant churches like us on the foreign field, to start Bible colleges like us, and to win people like us. Sometimes if we're not careful, listen, every part of the church has different gifts. And folks, I'm just going to tell you this morning, one of the ways I didn't, you know, when I started out, I didn't get to know the missionary like I do now. But that was a progressive thing with my growth with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't wait till I became the pastor to start giving. I didn't wait till I got to know the missionary. I believe by faith in that promise that my church were supporting people that were like us. And I got on board and I gave. That you can make a global impact. You don't have to wait till you know it all. You can give. And one day you'll know everything. And you won't just know that they were like us, but you'll know what they did like us. You'll know. Think about all the people. I look forward to one day standing after I talk to Jesus, talking to other people. And again, like many of you, not just one church that I've been a part of, but multiple churches that were faith promise churches. That church reached them. Remember when you were a member of Salisbury Baptist Temple and you gave? I was your missionary. I wanted you to meet a few people that are here today because of what you gave. Remember when you were a member of Landmark Baptist Church and you gave through that mission program and you gave through that church? How about this? You remember when you just got saved and you hadn't even got baptized and joined the church yet, but you decided that this was worth getting in on? And you gave. See, you don't have to. You may still have some things to learn or areas to grow in, but it don't mean that you can't get in on God's plan. Now, I would suggest you get baptized. I'd suggest you become a member. But until you've done those things, that don't mean you got to wait to give to God's work. And I mean, listen, doesn't mean that you still can't reap rewards for what you did as you grew in grace. Second of all, I want you to see this. We can make a global impact. I'm being grounded in faith. Listen, Brother Mormon said something this morning, and I want you to understand, I've been gone for 2 weeks, okay? Every church ain't like this church. Every group of people is not like this group of people. The world every day is trying to push and change the church and make it more like itself and not like the Lord set it out to be in his church. Every day there's a battle for us to stand in faith. Do you know what an encouragement it is for the missionary to come home and his church is still standing where it stood when he left? For the church to still be given like it was when he left, to still be winning souls like it was, to be running buses like it was, to stand in faith. Listen, a missionary, I went out from this place to go out and plant churches and to run buses and to do what my church taught me to do, but then to come home and find out my church has changed. My church isn't what it was when it was sent me out. Hey, I want our missionaries to come home and go, man, they're just like they were when I was there. The same things I'm doing there, and I'm trying to make that church look just like the Lord's church that I was sent out of. Lord, help us. Lord, help us, man, make a global impact by being faithful. Paul wrote so many of the epistles to other churches saying that we've heard of your testimony of faith around the world. This church, before I ever came to be a member of it, I heard about its testimony of faith. I was in Maryland. I never met its pastor. I'd never heard him preach, but I'd heard of the faith of the church that he pastored. Hey, folks, that gauge right there, that gauge makes a global impact. But you know, when people come in here, they have no idea how we get that done. They have no idea. But when other people come and sit in the building, they look at that gauge and go, look at their faith. We don't often think about this gauge being a measurement of our collective faith in God. But you know, every year when we hit that mark, isn't it a time of rejoicing for our church? That we've been found faithful again.
to do what we thought was unthinkable, to do what other people said, they ain't going to make it this year. Hey, folks, I'm going to just tell you, we need to be found faithful. It's an encouragement to the missionary. It encourages us. It's a way we make a global impact. People hear of our faith and our faith and our faith. Lastly, I'll say this. We can make a global impact by going to the field. Do you know we go here locally, and this is our Jerusalem, according to the gospel, right? We go out from this center place, and many of you have answered the command of God and to be a good witness of Jesus Christ and to serve him in so many different areas. But with a month like this, and just like our teenagers, I would be remiss to not tell you that I believe God is calling somebody to go. He's calling somebody to go and surrender to the work of God. You say, well, I don't know where I would go. Well, God's not going to tell you that until you surrender to go. God doesn't reveal every step to everybody. He just says, here's the next step I want you to take. And surrender to his will. God, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Some of you, you've already done that, and the next step was surrender to missions. Hey, folks, you say, preacher, why are you getting after that? You trying to send people away? Listen, if I was going to do that, I wouldn't preach it to everybody. I'd preach it to the ones I wanted to leave. Right? Hey, I'm trying to kid around with you a little bit, but really, I do believe that God has not stopped calling. But sometimes we've stopped answering. We're not picking up the phone anymore. I'm comfortable. Don't be comfortable when God's got a call on your life. Answer the call if God's calling you. Do you know, I think about this. Before I could ever make a global impact for others, God had to make an impact in me. I kind of give you my testimony, but I remember a time when this verse was read to me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That made a big impact in my life. I had been someone who shared these verses with others as a good Christian in a church, but never had personally called upon the name of Jesus Christ myself. And boy, there was a day when I couldn't wait to get down that altar, because I realized that I was on my way to hell without Jesus Christ. And I needed to accept him as my Savior, and then he could change everything. He would make an impact that would move heaven and earth. It would move hell and earth and heaven. You know, right now, I'm different. Some of us think when we get saved, it'll be different because we're in heaven. That ain't the way it happened to me. When I got saved, I was still here. It wasn't like bow at the knee at the altar and poof, I was in heaven. It didn't happen that way for me. But I read farther in the book and realized he's coming back. That's going to be my heavenly home. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's also in this book. Do you know what he said? Right then and there, I got saved. I was saved. You say, what do you mean, saved? I mean saved. I accepted Christ, and my eternal soul had eternal life. And I began to live an eternal life for Jesus Christ from that moment on. Every day had opportunity for advancement, for growth, to let something else go and to grab something else for Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never entered into that journey like I did, and make no mistake, it is a journey. But salvation is immediate. It's like an impact that happens in your life. It's cleansing of sin going out and Jesus coming in. It's an impact. If you've never had that happen in your life today, then accept him as your Savior. Begin the journey. Boy, giving to others before you yourself know that you're saved. You should give because you know everyone else needs what you got. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then today receive him. The Bible says to call on him and you won't perish. And that perish means in death and hell. But eternal life means a wonderful time in heaven with Jesus Christ. Eternal blessings to be with him forever. You say, preacher, it's simple. It's so simple. Why is it that we complicate the surrender to God? Why do we complicate the surrender to give what he's asked us to give? Why do we complicate? Even for me, I complicated simple salvation. But one day I said, no more. I'm going to get saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you heard the message and you'd like to be saved, we're about to have an invitation, and I will invite you to come down and meet me in the front, and we'll take a Bible and we'll show you how you can be saved. But for many of you who have already done that and you've been saved, I'm encouraging you in one of these ways to make a global impact with your life, to make a decision for God today. Maybe you need to make a decision of what you're going to give or that you're going to stand faithful. I don't know how God spoke to your heart today, but today, do what God has asked you to do. Let's stand to our feet.